Well, I am here at the 12th Annual Animal Ag Alliance Stakeholders Summit here in Washington, D.C., and Joe Miller is standing here in front of me with Rose Acre Farms, and he just got done talking to attendees about farm protection legislation. Tell us a little bit about your role at Rose Acre Farms and what brings you to this conference.
Okay, well, I'm the general counsel at Rose Acre Farms, so I deal with a lot of these issues, a lot of the environmental issues. I've been a member of the Animal Ag Alliance for about a decade or longer, so it's a great organization. I come every year regardless, but I'm here to specifically this time to speak on farm protection, livestock interference legislation.
Well, you talked about some of the drivers for this legislation that the states are trying to get passed. Highlight those.
Well, some of the drivers has been that there's been a lot of videos, about 80 videos taken since 1990, undercover videos. These are taken without any knowledge of the people involved. And the problem is it causes a lot of reputational damage to these companies. They have no way to respond to these. These are farms. They don't have PR departments, and they can't respond to this, but yet there's a lot of reputational damages that occur. There's no proper response available to these people. So it's legislation's being driven from the standpoint we're trying to protect honest, good, hardworking people in business and stop people from trying to harm them. And that's what's actually driving this legislation.
You talked about one thing that you wanted the states to include, and that was vicarious liability. What does that mean, and what would that bring to the table for them?
To me, that's a very important part of any legislative move on this. And what the vicarious liability means is, for instance, if somebody comes in and videotapes me and I give it to some other organization and they use that as fundraising purposes, as media events, I can go after that other organization. In many cases, you can't go after that other organization without some specific legislation tying them to that. The problem has been presented in the past is that a lot of times the people taking the actual video have nothing to go after. They have no assets. They're usually fairly poor, broke. There's nothing there to go after. But then organizations that bring in $100 million a year take these videos and they go out and have big media events. They do fundraisers with them and you can't touch them. So if states will enact vicarious liability that says that if I aid and abet or if I work with somebody doing that and obtaining these videos illegally, I am then held liable for the damage that causes. And then I can go after those organizations and get damage and get compensated for it. It makes it worthwhile to do that, whereas the other person actually taking the video has nothing to go after, there's no sense going after them.
Makes sense, definitely. You also mentioned a few steps employers could take to kind of help combat these whistleblowers.
Yes, part of that is that employers should put on there and make clear they have policies that state that their employees cannot take videos without permission, that they are not allowed to take things outside their scope of employment. Also, employers can ask, are you a member of an animal rights organization? Those type of questions, they can ask those things legally and try to weed that type of stuff out. Another thing employers ought to do that I didn't mention in my talk, though, is that they should carry out their own audits. Go in and see, are the employees actually doing what their policies state? Just because you write up a policy and then never check it is kind of ineffective. So they need to also be alert. Are the policies being held up and are the animals being taken care of the way they want them to be taken care of?
You didn't hit on this today, but I would like to bring it up, and that's social media and how it's played a part in when we're talking about ag gag legislation and those different things. I know that agriculturalists and farmers have been encouraged to jump on the social media bandwagon to help share our story. So is this something that could help or hinder?
No, I think the social media is something that can really help. It's hard for a lot of people in the farming business to do this. Number one, they're usually pretty busy. And number two, it's the social media is not something that's has been readily adopted in rural areas as in urban areas, just because, number one, internet access isn't always available in all these areas. And number two, it's just like trying to get used to computers. The young people are used to it. The older people, they're still struggling with it. And a lot of the rural population is still in the older generation. So it's just something that hasn't been utilized as much, but it's something that can become very effective just to get the message out as to, you know, here's the normal what I do every day type thing. It's just something that a lot of urban people find fascinating, and it helps get the message out as, hey, we're people too, and it helps get out the idea that you can trust us as much as we can trust you, and it works both ways.
Well, to sum it up, you kind of talked about how consumers don't need to understand us. We need to understand consumers. What does that mean, and how can we do that?
Well, and to me, that's one of the big things we have to do in agriculture is we have to start understanding our customers. I've heard for years that, well, they just have to understand what we do. And the fact is that most urban people don't want to understand what you do. They don't have the time. They don't really care. They want to be able to trust what they buy is good, healthy products. They don't want to have to try and figure out every technical aspect of animal husbandry and every type of animal livestock operation. Most agriculture people don't even know all that on every type of species. So what you're trying to do is, again, with the social media aspect of this, is just get out and say, look, you know, here's how I take care of my animals. I'm out there. I'm concerned about them. I want them to be healthy. I want them to be well taken care of. And as long as that message gets out to the urban people, I think that's what they want to hear, to say, okay, I trust that product being produced. I feel safe and I feel good when I go to buy it.
Well, thank you, Joe, for taking a few minutes to chat with me. Again, talking with Joe Miller, General Counsel for Rose Acre Farms, here at the 12th Annual Animal Ag Alliance Media Summit here in Washington, D.C. I'm Jamie Johansson.